One of the many amazing paradoxes of the Christian faith is that the saints have found joy in doing what they don't want to do.
Missionary Jim Elliot said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." What sacrifices are you and I willing to make for what we believe? Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, calling us to put our plans in the hands of our loving Heavenly Father. Here's Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking again today on the subject of true liberation. We've been hearing for a couple of decades about women's liberation, and I've been trying to give you a definition of what the Scripture says makes us free. It's from Jesus' own words, "If you continue in my words." Freedom begins with obedience. My friend Jody Gross, whose husband happens to be president of Gordon College, is the mother of two sons, and when they were just little boys, she came in one morning to get one of them out of bed, and he said, "Well, I'm not getting up today. It's Saturday." And she said, "But you usually get up sometime on Saturday. What time do you plan to get up?" He said, "Well, this is a free day. Let's have it a free day, so I can just do anything I want." "Well," she said, "do you think that would be a good way for us to run this family?" And he said, "Yeah, I think it'd be great." So she was a wise woman, and she didn't argue with the little boy. She said, "Fine. We'll have a free day today, and you will do what you want to do, and you won't have to do what you don't want to do, and all the rest of us can do what we want to do, and we won't have to do what we don't want to do. Is that right?" And he said, "Yes." So Jody left him. Maybe an hour or so later, he appeared in the kitchen. Jody was doing something there, and he looked around and saw that the table was bare, and he said, "Where's breakfast?" Jody said, "Breakfast? Well, I didn't fix breakfast." And he said, "Why not?" She said, "Because I didn't want to. This is a free day." Well, that put a different light on the boy's idea of freedom, but of course he got a box of cereal out of the cupboard and got the milk out of the refrigerator and put together some sort of a breakfast for himself very grudgingly and with great resentment. And while he was sitting at the table, he looked out the window, and lo and behold, his brother was riding his bicycle. So he went storming out. He said, "Hey, you didn't ask permission. That's my bike." His brother said, "Permission? I thought this was a free day. I thought we were going to do what we want to do. I just wanted to ride your bike." And so the day went. Well, it didn't take the whole day for the boy to figure out that that's not freedom. If everybody does what they want to do and never does anything they don't want to do, we're in big trouble, aren't we? And one man's freedom ends on the end of the other man's nose. One of the many amazing paradoxes of the Christian faith is that the saints have found joy in doing what they don't want to do and in not doing what they do want to do when the will of God happens to cross their personal preferences. I want to read you a wonderful testimony from a woman who says that she wants to express her gratitude for my words of encouragement to stay-at-home mothers. She says, "Your program aired shortly after the birth of our first child. At the time, I was completing my student teaching and our baby was due near the end of the school term. However, I developed complications and our baby was born nearly 2 months premature. This event, of course, ruined my hopes of graduation, which was very difficult for me to accept. Nevertheless, after agonizing over the decision, I decided to make my children my priority. I am a full-time mom and am immensely enjoying it. It seems God has abundantly blessed us for this decision. We have since been blessed with the birth of a healthy, full-term second baby, and my husband's career has escalated, enabling me to easily, financially speaking, stay at home. In addition, God paved the way for me to finish my education with a minimum amount of time away from our first child. As I reflect, I still don't understand why God let this trial come upon us. But as Job said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." Yes, there is a cost of discipleship, but the Lord abundantly repays our obedience if we will trust Him. Please continue your words of exhortation. I eagerly look forward to them daily. Well, thank you, Maria, for that letter, that encouragement. And since both yesterday and today, I've talked about women who have had almost miraculous answers to prayer in providing for their families and being able to stay home and actually making more money than they were before. Their husbands are making more money than they did before. I certainly don't want to be giving out a message that says, if you will obey God and quit your job and stay home, then God is going to do for you what He did for Maria. There's a gospel song that was very popular a couple of, well, probably 10, 15, 20 years ago, that has a line in it which I take exception to. It says, "What He's done for others, He will do for you." Now, that's true in a very broad and general sense. I believe absolutely that when, for Christ's sake, we do what we don't want to do, or we stop doing what we do want to do, God does bless us. I'm not at all afraid to make that a blanket statement. He will bless you. But blessings are not always material. Very often they are spiritual. And Maria said she didn't know why God had given her the trial of having a premature baby. And of course, I don't know all God's reasons, but I have a sneaking suspicion that maybe one of the reasons was in order to humble her and to make her understand that this was the meaning of the cross in her life. The will of God crossed her will. She wanted to graduate. She had to give her child priority over her education. That was saying no to herself and yes to God. And God blessed her for that. He blessed her both spiritually and materially. Are you willing to receive whatever kind of blessing God wants to give you, whether it's material or not? Some of you, if you decide that God wants you to stay home, are going to have to make some very severe sacrifices. I've had letters from women who've done that. Letters from people who have had to change their complete lifestyle, sell their house, scale down. Everybody's talking about upgrading their lifestyle. You might have to downgrade your lifestyle. And never let it be said that Elizabeth Elliot gets on the radio and says, anybody who gives up her job and quits work in order to stay home and take care of her children is going to find that her husband is going to make more money. I've given you the testimonies of some in whose lives those changes have taken place. But what I want to say to you is, you don't know what God wants to do for you. You don't know the ways in which God will work out your situation any time you obey Him. There have been a good many times in my life when obedience to God looked like a very hazardous course. I had no guarantees that things were going to work out according to my ideas of safety and happiness. But I can testify, as I look back, there has never failed one word of all God's good promises. I found more joy along the path of Thy commandments than in any kind of wealth, said the psalmist, and I would say the same. This is where I have found joy. This is where I have found liberation, true freedom. It starts with obedience, and obedience always, and I say it again, obedience always leads to joy. Not happiness as you might have defined it, but when God gives you His kind of joy, you'll see that it's worth infinitely more than what you thought of as happiness. One more little story. When my brother Dave was just a little boy, I guess 2 or 3 years old, we went to Belmar, New Jersey for a vacation on the ocean. Well, We two older children, my brother Phil and I, learned to jump in the waves, and we were having a wonderful time, and my father tried to take little Davy in to jump in the waves, and he screamed bloody murder. So my father deposited him on the sand where he happily played with his bucket and shovel. Well, a little bit later, my mother tried. She said, "Come on, Davy, look how much fun it is to jump in the waves, and I'll hold your hands." And so she tried, and he screamed. And the next day, my father tried, and he screamed, and my mother tried, and he screamed. And there was absolutely no way to persuade this little boy that he could be having the same kind of fun that Phil and Betty were having, because to him, it looked very dangerous. And he didn't want to get water in his nose. He didn't want to have a wave break over his head. And so no amount of promises from his father and mother convinced him that he would be safe, that they would be holding his hand. Well, on the last day of our vacation, my father finally persuaded him. And you know what he did? He burst into loud wails and tears, and he said, "Why didn't you make me go in?" He missed out on the joy because he didn't trust his father. He didn't trust the word of his mother. He didn't trust what he could see with his own two eyes, the joy that his brother and sister were having. Aren't we just like that? God does everything that he possibly can. He's given us his word. He's given us the testimony of the saints. He's given us plenty of opportunity to observe. And we say, "No, I don't want to take that risk. I don't know whether I'd really be safe." Remember, God will be holding your hand. Obey him. He will be holding your hand. And obedience leads to joy.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.